This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah, suggestions for new topics, or you just want to write in and say hey, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep that conversation going by supporting the show. We want you to share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
Today is April the 2nd, which means that our Date the Word is coming to you today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called.
That's right. We say this a lot on the show, but the Christian life is active participation in walking with God. And so you can walk in a manner which is worthy, yeah. Right? Your conduct on this earth matters. How you carry yourself, how you impact the world around you for Jesus, all that stuff matters. It's not as though we just receive grace and then we just live out the rest of our life in this waiting period, yeah. Just waiting for Jesus to come back. There's a walk. There's impact that's to be made. And so Paul is saying that to Timothy. He's saying, I want you to walk in that manner which is worthy.
Yeah, Paul here is firmly in his mentor era. Mm-hmm. He's pouring into Timothy.
Very nice.
And he's teaching him, you know, but he refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's like, hey, you know, you see the way I'm living my life. You see the hardships that I've endured, but I'm doing it because I've been called by God and I don't have a choice. I have to do this. Otherwise, I'm going to be disobedient to God. And I count it a joy to do so.
That's right.
So Timothy, you yourself have been called to be a pastor. You yourself have been called to be a leader. Walk worthy of that calling. There will be some times when you're discouraged. There'll be some times when you're frustrated. There'll be some times when you feel like life is against you. Every step, good days, bad days, and everything in between, walk worthy of your calling.
That's right. Just want to remind you guys before we move on, this episode is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app. You can download it for free right now on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you.
That's right.
And you know what today is? Today is indeed Tuesday.
It is
Got
Tuesday.
Our schedule back on track.
Yes.
We're a Tuesday. It's time for the Gripevine.
Welcome to the Gripevine.
Doink! I'm no stranger to talking about my journey quitting soda on this show, right?
Sure, sure.
It's been bad. It's been bad.
It's been
unsuccessful.
Tough.
It's been tough. I'm kind of vacillating in between. Here's the thing that I came to a crashing realization.
Here's the rub, kids.
Here's the only bugaboo, and I'm sad that this happened at 32 years old. Why is Sprite not a healthy drink?
It's literally sugar in a bottle.
It's clear, though.
It's clear, so it must be related to water.
It must be in the same family. My mom always used to talk about Sprite being like, that's the thing that it's almost like medicine.
Oh, like if yeah, you yeah. only like drink it when you're sick. Like, oh, poor baby, your stomach's not feeling good. Your stomach's a little
here, have messed a up. Have you a drink little Sprite. A Sprite or ginger ale?
If your stomach is really doing flip flops and feeling nauseous, why don't you lather it with sugar?
Why isn't Sprite healthy? I've been told that it was healthy. It's been marketed as being healthier, at least, than dark sodas. But then you look at the can, and that's a rat lie. Dr. Shah is a big Sprite fan, but then. And I always saw him drinking, and I was like, well, this guy doesn't really drink soda, but he drinks a lot of Sprite. Right. So that must make it healthy.
Yeah.
But then the math just doesn't work. No. It's marketing versus math. And I just, it's blowing my mind. And it's almost like a crippling blow because I was like, okay, I'm giving up the Coke. I'm giving up the root beer. I'm giving up all the sugary drinks. Sure. But if I crave, I could still have a Sprite.
Because it's healthy.
Or at least healthier.
It's not.
But it's just as.
It's not. There are some dark sodas that Sprite is actually worse than.
You know what's funny is no one drinks diet Sprite.
No.
Because they feel like regular Sprite is
healthy enough.
Do you even drink Sprite?
I don't drink soda.
What is the thing? I don't either. And that's why I'm so, here giving this advice to people.
Exactly.
What I want to know is, here's one thing I've never, and maybe David, you can weigh on this because you're the one that actually introduced me to this, is what is the deal with McDonald's Sprite? Why is McDonald's Sprite different than regular Sprite? What is it?
I don't know if it's the ratio of syrup to carbonation, but it's intense. David
looks scared.
McDonald's Sprite is like TV static in a straw.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
If
I open a can of Sprite and I drink it and then I get a cup of Sprite from McDonald's, what is the difference between them? Taste wise, that is.
You know how every now and again in the sanctuary we do like pink noise to make sure things sound good and the sound is balanced?
Yeah, it's just
imagine drinking pink noise.
Yeah, think about what pink noise would taste like.
So it's just intense?
It burns.
It feels like electricity in your throat.
Wow.
There was one time when I was a kid, I went to a horse camp and I touched my tongue to the electric fence.
Why did you do that way?
That's not the matter at issue.
Because he wanted a McDonald's Sprite.
So I did that.
He was thirsty.
That was less worse than the McDonald's Sprite.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, McDonald's Sprite is, I don't know if it's the ratio of syrup to carbonation, because that's what happens with fountain drinks. They're separate and they get infused together. I don't know what it is, but other fountain drinks, I mean, they hit pretty well, but McDonald's Sprite is just, it's something else. It's like drinking fire.
it's just been a hard day, and I wanted to gripe about it because giving up the soda, giving up like root beer and Coke was one hand, but then I found out I had to give up Sprite too, and this is really... Racking my brain.
I'm
right
praying
now.
For you.
Yeah, thanks.
Why don't you drink some water to try to wash that taste out of your mouth?
I got a little water right here. It's just, I don't like to drink in it because I think this is where fishes use the bathroom in, so I don't like to drink water.
That's where fishes use the bathroom. What about the water that's used for your carbonated Sprite?
I mean, it's fine. Honestly, the carbonation kills all the bacteria.
Sure it does. If you've had a soda journey trying to quit soda, or you've been surprised with the unhealthiness of Sprite, you may be entitled to a financial compensation. Write in and let us know at 252-582-5028. Spoiler alert, we're not going to compensate you financially for your journey away from Sprite. But we'll commiserate with you. 252-582-5028. Or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, people want to know, why is Sprite not a diet drink? We talked about it on the Gripevine earlier, because you're a Sprite drinker. Well, you used to be a Sprite drinker.
Used to be.
No more Sprite.
Yeah.
It has all the qualities of a diet drink. It's clear.
It's probably one of the worst ones when
it comes
so to sugar.
It's so sugary.
Riddled with sugar.
Yeah.
Why did we grow up thinking that Sprite was somehow better than
because
other sodas?
Because it's clear.
It tricked you. It's deceptively clear.
We griped about that on the Gripevine today. I was like, why in the world is Sprite not diet? And why does everyone think it's diet?
Yeah. And when I travel, I want Sprite.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, when I'm in the plane. Yeah, I would like a Sprite.
I'd go for a Sprite.
And I'd drink like three or four. And then I would be like, what is wrong? Why is my blood sugar so high?
Shout out to Sprite, not in a
good
way.
Shout out to Sprite, not in a good way. Thanks for deceiving us. Dr. Shah, what is the daily encouragement you want to leave with our listeners and our viewers today?
Well, just know that Jesus rose from the grave, mm-hmm. and he's alive today.
That's right.
We're not serving a God who is dead or who is somewhere out in the mist or in the clouds, some far away in the universe, but he's alive. He is here today.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Remember, he's fully God, fully man. So yes, he's with the Father, but also being fully God, he's with us.
Amen.
It's kind of funny because like right after Easter, you don't really forget, but it's like the Easter stories, like Jesus is risen, glory to God, shut the book, now
now it's Monday.
Yeah, now it's Monday or whatever. Now the story's done and we just live our Christian life.
Yeah.
But we don't realize that the resurrection changes how we live our Christian life.
Yes, resurrection means he's with you now.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Christ in us.
And there's an entire life to be lived.
Yes.
And yet it's so funny that, and I even do this, they're like, when Easter ends, it's like, okay, who?
Yeah.
Now we're done.
The bunnies have hopped, the eggs have rotted, the chocolate has melted in the noonday sun.
And it's like, wow, that was pretty good. Is that you?
Yeah.
That was really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's like, now that Easter's done, I can get, quote unquote, back to normal.
Yeah.
Rather than Jesus is alive, so what is our
That's
new
right. normal?
Right.
That's yeah. right. Well, today I want to kind of focus on the post-resurrection mm-hmm. appearances of Jesus. So you would think that resurrection stories over, go home, now go live the gospel.
Yeah.
Right.
But Jesus didn't do that. There was also the ascension. So there's a period between, a 40-day period between his resurrection and his ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in that period, Jesus revealed himself to a lot of people, but he did not reveal himself to the skeptics like you would think. The only one you would say was a sort of a skeptic was Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was a doubter. So Jesus did reveal himself, but it's only one.
Yeah.
Now you would think if I were Jesus, I would go to the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees.
All the people who were at the cross.
You definitely hear this? Watch this.
You know, Pontius Pilate, even him. I mean, it's just like, hey, you see this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I told you.
Yeah, you tried to kill me, but look.
Yeah.
This is what I've done.
Yeah. But instead, he only went to people who already believed in him.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Even Thomas, yes, he was a doubter. Yes, he was a skeptic, but he still believed.
Right.
Yeah.
He had tough times really submitting to what Jesus was saying, but overall he did believe.
That's a good point. That's a really great point, because I think we tend to, I don't think we like, it's like feel bad or whatever, but we put a lot on Thomas, and yet at the same time we go through periods of doubt.
Right.
Well, he was in his own category anyway, because yes he had struggles, yes he doubted, but he was still one of the 12.
He was a believer who struggled.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just some random person on the side of the encounter Jesus once,
or a chief priest or a scribe or a hypocrite or somebody. You know.
Yeah.
No.
Was he one of the original 12?
Yes,
I believe
Thomas.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was there the entire time.
Yes.
He was always there.
That's right.
Yeah.
But in 1 Corinthians 15, it kind of gives us a list of all the people that Jesus revealed himself to after the resurrection. This is, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15 and then verse 4 on. It says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," which is
Peter,
mm-hmm. right? "Then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once," not just 500 multitudes, No, these are brethren, means these are followers. These were people who were dedicated to him, albeit just a few days ago they ran, scattered.
They didn't look very dedicated.
No, but now they repented, they submitted themselves back to who Jesus said he was. So he revealed himself to those 500, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Mm-hmm. This is by Paul's time. After that, he was seen by James, which is
his half-brother.
His half-brother. Mm-hmm. Then by all the apostles. So there's a difference between the 12 and the apostles. Mm-hmm. 12 were the apostles.
Right.
Apostles here are other people who were associated with the apostles, or they were still in that inner circle, but not quite in.
Right. Mm.
Yeah. And then last of all, he was seen by me also as one, by one born out of due time. Now, that's a different theological implication of how Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but that came much later.
So that was one thing, and I don't want to get too far down the rabbit trail, but Dr. Shaw's actually helping me write a paper on Romans right now, specifically the beginning, the very greeting of Romans. And that was a big deal that Paul says that he's an apostle, right? Like he's a bondservant, but he I don't want to say calls out, but he highlights his own apostleship, and it's a very, very significant way to open that letter.
That's right. He is telling people that it's not beneath them to go to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And it's not that the Gentiles are like second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. They are on the same level. In fact, God chose somebody. I mean, there's nobody. Peter, James, John, Matthew, Thomas, list the rest of them. Mm-hmm. None of them were on the level of Paul when it comes to his education, when it comes to his beliefs, when his Pharisaism, his pedigree. Mm-hmm. Nobody could compare to Paul. And what Paul is saying is, and I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So they got not just the leftover, they got the best of the best.
That's a great point. I hadn't considered that before. Yeah. That, you know, we talk about the disciples, the 12 as their fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. You know, they had various walks of life, but we kind of regard them as the everyman, kind of regard them as, you know, kind of somebody I would want to sit down with. But Paul was elite in his training.
He was an academician.
He was one of the religious elite, the
smartest. He was a scholar.
Yeah. And look at, like, when you're talking about 1 Corinthians 15, if you look at the very next verse in verse 9, it kind of gives, he's like, he's got the pedigree and he's got all that, but then you see the heart behind it, because he says,
I'm the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but on and on he goes.
Yeah, I love it.
But the point I want us to gather from here is that Jesus revealed himself to many people, and these many people were people who believed in him already. Mm-hmm. Some may have struggled, but overall, these were people who believed in him. And he came back to them to confirm to them that their faith was not in vain. Mm-hmm. He came back to encourage them that even though they will not see him 24/7, he will be with them 24/7.
Right.
He came back to reaffirm the vision. We call that Great Commission. He came back to tell them, hey, this is what I'm calling you to do. Mm-hmm. So just because I am no longer going to walk with you the same way I walked before, now begins your time to serve God.
Do you think people are almost willing to trade away the Holy Spirit for a revelation like that? And what I mean by that is, like, people will read something like that and say, man, I really wish, because I feel like I'm a Thomas, but I really wish Jesus would just appear to me right here in my room where I'm praying and be like, here, touch my hands, touch my side, so that I have that, rather than have to trust the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's like a thought people have?
Yeah, they do. And it's and you know what Jesus said is, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.
Yes, still believe.
Yeah.
Good point.
So it's, we are more blessed than even the apostles.
Mm. Yeah. A lot of times people will be like, man, I wish I could go back and just watch Jesus like walk on water. I wish I could see him, like, you know, feed the 5,000 or calm the storm or something like that. But I mean, just like you said, Dr. Shaw, we are more blessed than even the apostles were, because we have the presence of God with us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us.
And also, we are considered to be blessed. Mm-hmm. It's not that we are blessed because of what we get.
Yeah.
We are blessed because, if you go by the intent of that passage, is that you are willing to believe even though you have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was actually putting us at a higher plane
than even his disciples.
He's telling them, oh yeah, you're blessed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the privilege of walking with me, of seeing these miracles firsthand, of being in the storm and like actually in the case of one of you, walking on water your own self.
Yeah.
You know, they are born thousands of years from now, 2,000 something years from now, and yet they read the words that I've given and still believe.
It's faith.
That's faith. Yeah.
So going back to that time after the resurrection of Jesus, of course, we know Mary Magdalene saw him, and she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. So at first it was like, yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah, it's true. And it's another
riddled with grief.
We've talked about that, you know, Jesus first appeared to the women, the women who had faith in him, and they had to actually go back and convince the disciples who walked with him and who saw him and knew him and trusted him and loved him. They had to convince him that he was alive.
Yeah.
There's also that appearance on the road to Emmaus when Jesus came and he began to walk with two of his disciples. And we're not sure who they were, but he began to walk with them. And as they were talking about the things that had happened, and as they conversed, Jesus sort of drew near them.
Mm-hmm.
And their eyes were restrained. It means he didn't want them to know who he was.
Mm.
So he sort of, you know, put a veil, spiritually speaking, he put a veil in front of them. And then he began to ask them, what are you talking about? What's going on? And they're like, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not heard the things that have been going on? You know, do you not understand?
Yeah.
And he said, what things? And they told him about Jesus of Nazareth, this great man and this prophet, mighty in deed and word before God. And, you know, our chief priests and our scribes, our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, on and on and on. And then Jesus says in verse 25, because they go on and talk about how even their women saw the tomb empty. He says in verse 25, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he's telling them, isn't this what it's supposed to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
That's something that I think we've hit on a lot in this show, but I like to keep saying it, is that they knew what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come on the scene. And I think we like to spin that narrative that like they had this idea of what the Messiah was going to be, and then Jesus came.
Like he was going to stamp out the Romans and then ruled from Jerusalem, and that didn't happen, so they were disappointed and they were not sure. I don't think so.
Right.
They knew about the spiritual kingdom coming.
Right. Yeah. We like to paint this picture of Jesus like riding in on the little sad donkey, and everyone's like, oh, this is our king. And
I guess this is what the Messiah is supposed to do, but I had a whole different idea.
Yeah, and he must not actually be the Messiah, so we're going to put him to death because he can't be the Messiah, and yet he's claiming to be God. But I think the consensus that we've come to is no, they knew full well what this was.
Yeah. Jesus says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't this what he was supposed to do, guys?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
that was the expected and accepted verdict on what Jesus was going to do, what the Messiah was going to do.
And then many people knew that. It wasn't like a secret knowledge that only a select few had. No, people knew that this was what the Messiah was supposed to do.
Well, he's talking to them like it's obvious. Like you said, like ought not this to have happened means the disciples and then the Jewish population at large would have known like, yes, of course, this is what the Messiah's role is supposed to be.
The Isaiah suffering servant.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So he spent some time explaining to them again, don't you remember? We talked about this. Don't you remember? You grew up hearing this. Okay, let's go back to Exodus. Let's start there. All right, let's go back to David. Let's go back to Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk again about the minor prophets. And when they sat down and at the table, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open. So I think this is very important because after the resurrection, Jesus was sort of helping them take that next step over the threshold and believe all the way.
Yeah.
So he was there nudging them.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. You can do it. Keep going.
I don't know why this just seems very characteristic Jesus for me, like 31, where it says they're like, oh, this is him. And he's gone. He just vanishes. Yeah. I don't know why. That's always really funny
to me. It's interesting to me that they have that encounter with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the garden. And, once she recognizes him, she wants to hug him, but Jesus prevents that interaction. So it seems like, they get to that point of faith, but then Jesus creates that distance because he wants to teach them, like, I want you to believe in me without having to see me, without having to lay hands on me. I want you to take that next step in maturing your faith, because that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hope people are picking up the application that after Easter, what?
Right.
Start living as if the resurrected Christ is in you with you.
Right. That's right. He wasn't resurrected just to defeat death and be that. It's also the Christian benefits from the resurrection, because now there's a resurrected Jesus who's walking alongside you, who's living inside you, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
What was the whole thing about, like, he had to go away. He had to ascend back to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come.
That's right. In fact, now we have two comforters. He says he'll send another comforter, which means Jesus is our first comforter.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit is the second comforter. Mm. How much more do you need?
Yeah.
God is with you.
Right.
But also the Son.
Mm-hmm. And also the Holy Spirit.
But also the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So we have all three.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And so he did some of that. And then also he appeared to his disciples. Again, this is from Luke 24, verse 36. They were terrified. And, he's like, why are you so troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. I've written on that before, flesh and bones.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, that was one.
Ephesians 5:30 talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he even ate food in front of them to remind them, teach them about the resurrection body that's coming for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be flesh and bones.
Yeah.
So after resurrection, after Easter, remind yourself of your resurrection that is coming.
That's true.
You've said that before, that Jesus' resurrection was the template for us to look to that our bodily resurrection is going to be like one day.
Well, yeah, because we have this idea, and I think, I don't know if it'll ever be completely gone from our culture, this idea of floating on the clouds. When we die, we go to that heavenly city where it's like clouds and cotton candy and little baby angels. And, like I said, I don't know if we'll ever truly get past that, but this idea of the bodily resurrection, maybe not every, this is something that you mentioned in your sermon series when we did our filming in Egypt, maybe we can do an episode on it, but lots of world religions have an afterlife. Very few, if only Christianity, has a bodily resurrection. I think only Christianity is the only one. There's no other that says it's not that you go to live in another spiritual place. You are coming back to life.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Flesh and bones.
Right.
You're coming back.
That's right.
So there's some other post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. One more you find in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We hear how he comes, and again, Mary Magdalene tries to hold him, and he says, no, don't touch me, don't cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father, on and on. Then he appears to the disciples, and then he appears to Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about that. And then finally, in John 21, we see the encounter between Jesus and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with, they're back on the sea fishing, but they haven't caught anything. And Jesus stood on the shore and he asked them, children, have you any food? And of course, they said no. And he says, cast on the right side of the boat. And they did. And they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish.
Mm.
So what is the illustration for us? What is the application for us? The application is post-resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
We are to catch a multitude of fish.
That's right. 100%.
Post-resurrection is not, let's put away the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Or
the juice,
stuff. The communion, or put the bunny away. Post-resurrection is, let's now get in the business of seeing souls resurrected in the kingdom of God.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's part of what we do here. In fact, I'd say that's a large part of this show is that we want to catch as many souls as possible. And the radio airwaves and the internet, that's our grounds. That's our, I hate to say hunting grounds, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's where everyone is. I mean, if we can say technology is bad and we can go against the grain and, but if that's where people are going, then why not bring the message of the gospel? Why not bring the message of the hope that we have because of the bodily resurrection? Bring that to where people are. And that's the heart behind the Clearview Today Show. That's such a great encouragement for us after Easter, is we're living in the post-resurrection era. Step into that. Step into your relationship with God. Let it be a time of restoration. Let it be a time of living by faith and inspiring other people to do the same. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if it was helpful for you in this after Easter era, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and become part of our Clearview Today Show family as we reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus. John, any thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
Absolutely. We've got a big, packed week. This week and next week here on the Clearview Today Show, we're going to be going over some of the broad principles, a little bit of New Testament textual criticism. I think we got book club coming up either at the end of this week or next week, but it is coming up soon. So do not miss a single episode of the Clearview Today Show. Make sure you share it, support us financially online, just like Ryan said, and we will see you tomorrow.
Good stuff ahead. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.